All good. What did you see that's going well for NC State so far? They're tied 25-all against Kansas. What's working for the Pack?
I mean, Casey Morcell's gotten off to a really good start. He scored in transition a couple of times, had some nice stops defensively. I think for them to be tied up with Kansas, and, you know, Terquavion Smith's had a really tough shooting start to this game, despite having a couple blocks defensively, and Grady Dick making, you know, 12 three-pointers already. it's not a bad – it's really not a bad start for NC State. I do think Dusan Morčić, the starting center for them, like, I just think he's been really solid for them all season defensively. You know, he gives them some size, some foot speed at the center position, and a little bit of scheme versatility guarding pick and roll because he can switch, he can ice, he can, you know, play at the level or drop. So I think that's done a nice job, you know, chipping away at Kansas's half-court offense, and they could just close out a little bit better on Grady Dick, then they could get even more sort of like half-court kills against the Jayhawks. And then, yeah, you just hope eventually Terquavion, you know, gets hot at some point. And no matter what, even if that dude doesn't start making shots, Kansas at least has to guard him. And I've seen Terquavion have a couple nice pick-and-roll passes. He actually hit Morčić for a two not too long ago. So, yeah, I don't know. State hanging tough at least the first 15 minutes of the half here.
Let's go ahead and keep going with the report cards. You hit on a couple things not only for this game but that have worked well for NC State early. What's your early season four-game report card for the Duke Blue Devils right now? What's working? Let's go with what's working well, then I'm going to come back and ask you what's a concern for each of these teams. But what's going well for Duke through first couple games, including a loss to Kansas, but good showing?
Yeah, that was the one game this season the offense really didn't fire on all cylinders, but they still had a good stretch, especially early in the second half. I think one of the things that would be most encouraging if I were John Shire or anyone else on that staff would be, I don't know how much of Duke you've seen this season, maybe outside of the Kansas game, Permar, but like the ball moves for them offensively. Like, sure, they get it side to side, it pops around. I just think like the half court the connectivity they have in the half court offense is pretty good given how much roster turnover that was. And yeah, they've got a lot of good players, but I think that's been impressive. I also just I am struck by their versatility that they have, because this is a team with Kyle Filipowski, who's had an incredible start to his freshman season, who can play the four or the five, and can do basically everything offensively. I mean, he can run pick and roll, he can screen and dive, he can spot up, you can run him off screens, you can isolate him in the post or out on the wing. And then with guys like Mark Mitchell, Jacob Grandison, who's popped up and had a couple nice shooting performances for Duke, including against Bellarmine the other night. And then now with Derek Whitehead, you're working him into the rotation. You've got a bunch of wings that you can mix and match, so you can go small, you can go big. They've got two guys that can kind of run the show as point guards right now with Jeremy Roach and Tyrese Proctor, who's been a little up and down, but certainly had some nice flashes. And the more you bring Whitehead into the mix, just the higher the ceiling goes for this team. And really the best part for them, if you had to isolate one thing, has probably been the second chance offense. They're top five nationally in offensive rebound rate, and they're 90 plus percentile in, you know, put back attempts and put back points per 40 minutes too.
I appreciate you not calling me out and going with the "I'm not sure how much Duke you've watched outside of the Kansas game" instead of "I know you haven't watched Duke outside of the Kansas game." I appreciate that, my friend. Settle there. And let's complete the triangle. I know we've got Wake over there in North Carolina, mm-hmm, as well, but let's stick to the triangle for today's show. What's gone well for the Heels for the first couple games, and what a lot of people have termed as kind of a struggle start? I don't know if folks expected them to come out blowing out everyone by 20 because of the way they finished last season, but it has not been a well-oiled machine. But what has gone well for UNC so far through a few games?
Yeah, I think there was a period like this that should have been expected, because I know they bring back mostly everyone, and Pete Nance is good enough to just plug and play. But you and I have talked about this before. Like, the combination of Brady Manek and Armando Bacot, it was that inside out, the high-low duo, the movement shooting of Manek with the low post power of Bacot. Like, that was that was the nexus of UNC's offense in the half court last season. Look, Caleb Love is good, and RJ Davis makes good decisions with the basketball, and he can shoot too, but like that was it. And, you know, look, Nance has had a nice start to the season. Like, he's been arguably the team's best player, I think, in some regards, and he can shoot, not as well as Manic, but they're going to have to replace that and kind of figure out what the flow looks like for them in the half court. I think they'll find it, to be clear, because they're experienced and really talented. Yep. Like, you can usually bank on those two things. I know Baycott maybe hasn't been like amazing start this season, but I think he's been pretty awesome. I mean, he's drawing fouls at a crazy rate. He's blocking shots. He's been a monster on the glass for them. And look, Caleb Love's not going to shoot below 19% on threes for the whole season. Like, he'll start making some threes. And you know, I think RJ Davis will start to shoot better too. So I think offensively, things have looked pretty good despite the fact that the flow I don't think is quite there for them. Defensively, it's just figuring out what your coverages are going to look like. And can that no middle defense force some more turnovers from opposing offenses?
Brian Geisker joining us. You can check out his work at the BuzzBeat podcast where he talks Hornet stuff, but he also writes about some of the local teams at Pack Pride and Devil's Den. Does some great breakdown work, especially on some of these NBA-bound players on local rosters. If I had to ask you one concern for each team, your biggest concern for State, Duke, and UNC at this point in the season, let's start with the Pack, who I was going to give you a score update, but I'll do it in a second when they cut away from Seth Greenberg. The Pack, who trails by six here. What's your biggest concern for them this season?
Yeah, I just think it's defense, you know, like that, which has kind of been – that's been – when they've struggled – underneath Kevin Keats, like that's been the issue. Offensively, they've been reliably pretty good, even during some of the more lean seasons. I do think you got to figure out what do the coverages look like when DJ Burns is in at center and Mihorčić is on the bench. Can Terquavion Smith, I think he had a nice defensive first half against Kansas here, but he's had some issues guarding the ball at the point of attack, and you know, he can space out off the ball. And Terquavion's awesome, and he's carrying a huge load for them offensively. So you're going to expect some of that. But I think for the most part, State has the ability to be a pretty good offense. They're playing with pace. They've shot a good number. They're targeting the right spots on the floor generally. I would just like to figure out, where does the defense stabilize at? Can this be a top 75 defense? If so, State could be pretty good this year. If this ends up being, you know, an outside the top 100 defense, then, you know, it maybe becomes a little bit more problematic.
Biggest concern for Duke?
I think right now it's just like making sure they can get to the free throw line a little bit more offensively. Like, it would kind of surprise you. I know it's just a 5-game sample, and I do think with Whitehead coming back, at, you know, 6'7", projected top 10 pick, wing that can get downhill, draw contact, I think he'll help out a lot in that regard. But right now, Filipowski is really the only guy that's drawing fouls for them. So I would be trying to figure out ways to get Derek Lively involved a little bit more. Like, he's at 10% usage rate right now. And like, he's a defender. Like, that's his thing. But I'd like to find the way to get him involved in some more roles, get him going downhill a little bit more, and then just kind of figuring out who's going to be the guy for them to create rim pressure in late games. They've got lots of good options, so maybe it's a by committee approach, but I'll be kind of curious to figure out. Like, by the end of last season, it was Paolo, right? And so where do things settle in this season with a, you know, it's a good problem to have, but a pretty crowded kind of like playmaking room with Duke.
And what about UNC? Biggest concern there is not Armando Baycott like some of the fans, but what's your biggest concern?
Yeah, I'm not worried about Armando. Man, that guy knows what he's about. He's like one of the most self-aware players, yes, I think, in the country. And also, he's incredibly good at basketball. But yeah, I just think it's like similar to last year. It's just like solidifying the defense. I think ultimately that was the thing that kind of triggered for them last season, was they figured out their coverages with Manic and Baycott, and that allowed the defense to sort of like...
Adam Golden Studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Financial advice industry can be overwhelming for a lot of people. Is there a way to be sure you're getting the best service when you don't know?
Yeah, Adam, it's not just if you gave the money to a planning team and they did good the first year. I mean, anyone can do good for 1 year, but it's a track record and it's a long-term accounts that are very important. We call that a financial fill-up strategy, Adam, and that gives you lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll put together for you, the listener, your very own total retirement plan if you call right now.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Develop its floor, and then the offense was already pretty good, and you know, you saw the team kind of take off. So I would say nailing, similar to State, it's just like nailing down the defense, making sure that's good. And I think a lot of that is on the coverages with the big guys, and also making sure someone like Caleb Love like actually stays locked in all season, because if he has the tools to be a good defender, just throughout most of his career at UNC, we haven't really seen it.
Brian Geisinger, again, check out his work, Pack Pride, Devil's Den, and the Buzzbeat podcast where he does Hornet stuff. Brian Geisinger is also one of my millennial friends. I call him my millennial expert. He lets me know about how the millennials roll, what they're into. He's the first person who taught me what cuffing season was. And had I known all these years that there was, you know, actual, there was a schedule to this type of thing, maybe I could have handled it better. But one of the things he's also been my insider on is Friendsgivings. He's been to many. He's brought items for them. He has prepared them. So I asked you, Brian Geisinger, who are the three or more, I don't know how many you got there, who are the people that you definitely find at a Friendsgiving?
Yeah, so the first one of these is a classic one, and it's, I think, a role that I played at one point but have grown out of, thankfully, as I've become a slightly more functional adult. But that is guy who, it's a potluck dinner, right? But the guy who shows up with, like, the drinks or something that's not prepaid, you know, like a bag of chips or something like that, and, like, you know, feels like their contribution is on par with everyone else.
Yes.
Actually took time out of their day to buy ingredients and bake something. So that is, like, that is a go-to. There's going to be, as long as you have enough people, one person there is definitely going to be playing that role. Okay, the next one, and this is a newer one, Permar.
Okay, I like it.
But as you've maybe seen, sports gambling becoming, you know, a little quasi-legal here in the United States of America, there is going to be someone there. It used to be guy talking about his fantasy football team. Now it's guy talking about bets that he has on the game that night. Like, gotcha. There's someone that's got some app up on their phone and is talking about, how up or how down they are, or some dumb bet they lost the other day. So, like, those two are given. One of those is an old timey classic. The other one is
a little more modern.
A little more modern.
Sure.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the main thing. You got to have the person that literally holds the entire thing together. Is you got to have one friend that's willing to host the thing. And Permar, my friends who used to host Friendsgiving, a lot of them have young kids now. So we don't do Friendsgiving.
Yeah, that's a thing. And like, you probably, when you had Friendsgiving, like, you texting your other friends about, like, God, why are these guys bringing this up 3 months early or whatever? Like, why are they being so precise? Yeah. Like, you complained about them, and now you're like, now look at this. So you don't have the. I like to call that person the program director. In my life, I try not to, in my friend group, be seen as the program director. There are times where I will, like, if I'm going to go all in and seize the program director role and be like, this is what's going on, right? I will do it, but I try and avoid being labeled the program director in my friend group for fear of feeling the burden of having to do that all the time. But no, I totally feel you. So to all the program directors out there in your friend group who hold the Friendsgiving, there is some sub-Friendsgiving text group that is complaining about you being kind of anal and starting the planning thread too early or having some dietary need. But ultimately, you are appreciated. The Friendsgiving literally would not happen without you.
Exactly. Yes. Salute. The real MVP.
Thanks. Brian Geisinger, you don't have to tell me where you're headed. I'll text you later. But have a great Thanksgiving wherever you go. I know you'll be spending it with family and probably friends as well. We'll talk to you after Thanksgiving, my man.
Yeah. Same to you, Perm. Same to you, Victoria, and to everyone out there who does celebrate. Have a good holiday.
Cool, man. Talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Are you struggling to get a good night's sleep? Look no further than Parkway Sleep. For 20 years, we have been your locally owned and operated sleep center.
I'm Brandon Gigling, president of Parkway Sleep Health Centers. Did you know that people are waiting a staggering 6 to 8 months for a sleep study at other sleep labs? At Parkway, we understand the importance of your sleep needs. That's why we offer openings within weeks, not months, saving you time.
Don't let sleepless nights take over your life. Visit us today at parkwaysleep.com. Parkway Sleep Health Centers. Sound sleep, sound health.